Our second reading is taken from Luke's Gospel. We're reading from chapter 17, verses 5 to 10, from a passage entitled Sin, Faith and Duty. And you can find that on page 992. Hear the Gospel of our Lord according to Luke.
Glory to you, O
Lord. One day, the apostles said to the Lord, "Will you show us how to increase our faith?" And the Lord answered, "Well now, if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'May you be uprooted and planted into the sea,' and it would obey you. Look at it this way. When a servant comes in from ploughing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, 'Ah, come, sit with me and eat with me'? No. He says, 'Get yourself ready, prepare my meal, serve me while I eat, and then you can eat later.' And does the master then thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. Now, in the same way, when you obey me, what you should say is, 'We are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you that you would open your word to us now. Pierce through our distractions. Silence every voice but your own, and strengthen us where we are weak. Give us mustard seed faith that clings to Christ, and humble our hearts that serve without pride. May we walk out of here, not puffed up with ourselves, but rooted deeper in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Increase our faith, the disciples said. Well, when the disciples heard Jesus call to forgive again and again, they felt the weight of that and cried out, "Lord, increase our faith." And Jesus replied, "What matters is not the quantity of faith, but its reality. And it's not the recognition of service, but the humility." And we all know this cry. We cried it out in our lives. We all face someone who has wounded us repeatedly. And the Lord says, forgive and forgive again. You look at the bitterness in your own heart and it feels like roots too deep to pull up. You serve faithfully, caring for your family, praying when no one else knows, laboring quietly in the church. And sometimes it feels pointless because no one notices. And so you pray the same prayer as the apostles, whether it's about forgiveness or about quietly laboring. "Lord, I don't have enough faith for this. Increase my faith." And that's not the cry of an unbeliever. It's the cry of a disciple who knows just enough to know that it cannot be done alone. So let's look carefully at Jesus' reply, which comes in two movements. Faith like a mustard seed and service like an unworthy servant. And then you'll see how these two come together. The disciples are just being told to forgive not once or twice, but seven times in a single day. They're not asking for more miracles or more knowledge, but the strength to obey something that feels impossible. They realize that forgiving like Jesus demands more than willpower. It demands faith. But notice what Jesus does not say. He doesn't say, "You're right, you need more." He says, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed." In other words, you already have enough. It's not the amount that moves mountains. It's the direction of your faith. The mustard seed was the smallest known seed at the time in the world, almost invisible between your fingers. And yet it could grow into something large enough for birds to perch in on its branches. The mulberry tree, on the other hand, was famous for its deep roots, and they were stubborn as well, going down so deep. Some rabbis even said it could stay rooted for 600 years. And so Jesus deliberately chooses these two images, the tiniest seed and the most immovable roots, to make his point. He says, in a sense, faith that clings to me, however small, can uproot what looks immovable. Faith is not a feeling that you summon. It's trust that you have, that you direct. It's not a self-confidence in ourselves. It's Christ confidence. It's that moment in your life when you think all is impossible, but you remember in that moment that you do believe in this God and you cry out to him. Charles Spurgeon said, "It's not the strength of your faith that saves you, but the strength of him upon whom you rely." Think of a hand reaching for a rope in a storm. A hand that is trembling, that it may be shaking, but it still holds on. The power lies not in the grip, but what the hand grasps. And look at the context. Jesus isn't talking about moving mountains or calming seas. He's talking about forgiving the same person again and again. He's saying the real miracles of faith are not spectacular. They're moral and spiritual. The greatest mountain faith moves is often the mountain of resentment. The greatest tree it uproots is often the tree of bitterness. Faith is not magic. It's obedience. It doesn't make life easy. It makes obedience possible. So if you find yourself saying, "Lord, I want to forgive, but I can't," you are already halfway there. Bring that mustard seed to him. Plant it in the soil of grace. The smallest faith in a great God can do what no amount of human effort can. St. Augustine said, "Faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe." Even a small window of faith, cracked open to the light of heaven, can flood a dark heart with grace. Then Jesus moves from faith to service. And at first it feels so abrupt. But what he's doing, what he often does, moving from trust to practice, from belief to behavior. He says, "Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. When he comes in from the field, will the master say, 'Sit down and eat'? No, he'll say, 'Prepare my meal, get yourself ready and serve me. After that, you may drink and eat.' Does he thank the servant because he did what he was told? I think not." To our modern ears, this sounds quite severe, doesn't it? But Jesus isn't endorsing servitude. He's teaching us about attitude. He's showing us the posture of a heart that understands God's grace. The servant in the story doesn't expect applause or reward. He's simply doing what is required. And Jesus says that's how disciples are to serve God. Not as employees collecting wages, but as grateful servants responding to God's mercy. And worthy does not mean worthless. It means without claim to merit. We have no right to boast. Think of the difference between wages and gifts. Wages are earned. You can say at the end of a working day or week, pay me what I am due. But a gift can only be received with gratitude. You can't ask for a gift. It is to be received. Our obedience to God is not a wage. He owes us. It's a response to the grace he's already given. Augustine wrote, when God crowns our merits, he crowns nothing but his own gifts. So even the strength to obey comes from him. And that changes everything. It frees us from performing for approval, from serving to be noticed. We serve not to earn love, but because we already have it. That's why the saints of old could labour quietly, suffer patiently, and never seek applause. They had grasped the joy of being servants of a gracious King. What God has given us in Christ is beyond all measure. When we serve him in all we do it because we want to honour him and obey him. We don't demand anything from him, however big or small our service. And now we see why Jesus links these two moments together, faith and service, because they belong together. Faith keeps us dependent on God. Service keeps us obedient to God. Faith prevents despair, and service prevents pride. Faith is the root, service is the fruit. Faith says, I trust you, Lord. And service says, therefore I obey. Faith says, you can. And service says, so I will. Martin Luther said, we are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. That's Jesus' point exactly. And maybe that's why he joined forgiveness and service in one breath. Because the truest tests of faith are not in the spectacular, but in the steady. Not in the crowd, but in the kitchen. Not in the spotlight, but in the quiet act of forgiving, praying, serving, and carrying on. The mustard seed and the servant belong together. One shows the power of grace. The other shows its posture. One uproots bitterness, the other one uproots pride. Together they form the life of a disciple, small faith, humble service, all rooted in the grace of God. So what do we do with all this? Well, here's three things. Use the faith that you have. Stop waiting until your faith feels strong enough before you act. The father in Mark 9 cried, I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus honoured that cry. Peter stepped out of the boat with trembling steps and still walked on water. Faith grows when exercised, not when it is stored. Forgive with the faith that you have. Pray with the faith that you have. Obey with the faith that you have. And as you use it, it will grow. And serve without entitlement. This is so hard in our society. Much of discipleship is ordinary duty, the hidden work few will ever see. Parents praying with children when exhausted. Believers visiting the sick. Church members setting out chairs or cleaning up after everyone has gone home. Jesus says, do not expect applause. Do not imagine God owes you thanks. Say instead, I am an unworthy servant. I have only done my duty. Brother Lawrence said, who worked in a monk who worked in the kitchen, he said, we ought not to be weary of doing little things for the love of God, who regards not the greatest of the work, but but the love for which it is performed. That's why we do it, because we love God, but because he loved us first. And third, guide against pride. Even faithfulness can turn to pride. We compare ourselves to others. We assume God must be impressed. We imagine our years of service put him in our debt. But scripture cuts through that. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Everything is gift. Everything is graced. Humility is the soil in which our faith flourishes. So friends, let us heed this word. Myself included, I am not just preaching to you, but also to myself. Do not despise a small faith. A mustard seed in Christ is enough to uproot bitterness, to forgive again and again, and to endure. Do not despise ordinary duty, the hidden acts of faithfulness, the prayers, the kindness, the forgiveness. They are precious in God's sight, even if unnoticed by others. Do not despise humility, for though we say we are unworthy servants, the servant Jesus, who is the servant of all, came among us. He humbled himself to death, even death on the cross, and God exalted him to the highest place. And here is the gospel hope. The master who calls us servants is the servant who first washed our feet. The Lord who says, "Do your duty," is the Lord who bore our sins. The king who owes us nothing is the king who has given us everything. One day, we will rightly say, "We are only servants. We have only done our duty." And Jesus will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter into the joy of the Lord." Amen.